pair of L.L. Bean polypropylene snowshoes crossed on the back door. He's towing a Colbia fiberglass family runabout with an Evinrude V4 Star Flight outboard motor. He's got Savage Anschutz 22 rifles, Shakespeare fishing rods, Zebco spinning reels. He's got Uncle Josh pork rind, Barlow knives, Bill Russell quail boots, Coleman double mounted lantern, sleeping bags, pup tents, and pack frames. Inside the trailer, he's got Monongahela upholstery, shag carpet, Marantz FM tuners, mixed masters, and 2.6 children. And he is sitting tall in the cab of his motorized Conestoga, wearing a Pendleton Mackinaw and smoking a Marsh Wheeling cheroot. He looks down at his little bride. He says, "Mama, we are the great, the chosen, cosmic consumers. Baby, we're packing everything we'll ever need right here on our backs." They get down to the Lake Monroe Bridge on the St. John's River and run into a 35-mile traffic jam backed all the way up from the front gate of Disney World. And a solid phalanx of fools swelters in the Florida sunlight, and a malodorous mantle of carbon monoxide diffuses itself abroad over the spine of the land of flower. But this man is up for any contingency. He say, "Mama, let us take advantage of this hiatus and go fishing." So they put the boat in the river and set out trolling 7,500 other pilgrims. Walk across the water on outboard motors. Ain't nobody caught a fish in that part of the St. John's 20 years of too many pilgrims. The game commission comes down there once a year with a truck with a stainless steel tank on the back full of baby brim, shell crackers, perch, and bass. They commit those baby fish to the bosom of the waters to live and proliferate. 5 minutes later, every mother's son of those fish is back up on the highway hitchhiking back to Lake County where they live in the water. The last man to catch a fish in that part of the river was a key punch operator from Lake City. Came down there with a fishing plug he made himself out of stainless steel. It was an exact replica of one of the tanks those baby fish grew up in. He took home a boatload of fish. They trolled out in the big water. They get out there, and here's a commercial fisherman in his hook-nosed skipjack with his high-rise Merc. He's got his foot up on a gunwale. He's got his transistor radio hooked onto a rusty nail, tuned into WLW, listening to Merle Haggard saying, "It's not love, but it's not bad." And he is whittling out a minute, functional wood chain out of an Ohio blue-tip match with a case knife. He looks up and sees all the pilgrims coming. He says, "Shit." The next thing you know, one of the tourists insults the appearance of the fisherman's boat. The next thing he knows, he's racing that good old boy pink slip for pink slip. Title for title. Boat for boat. The sun goes down on beautiful Lake George. The noble blue heron and the sassy anhinger return satiated to the sanctity of the rookery, and the commercial fishing fleet returns to the docks at Georgetown. Each one of those boys packing 2.5 pounds of crabs, 4 pounds of fish, and 26 Cobia family runabouts. Trades all that stuff in at the Evinrude dealer in Palatka, takes the cash to the bank the next day, renders it into traveler's checks, sends 85% of the proceeds back to Pascagoula to cover alimony arrearage, and buys Mercury outboard motors with the rest. So I'd like to dedicate this whole thing to a race of 20th century heroes, a commercial fisherman of Big Lake George, Florida.
And let the juice run about 24 verses. Let me see now. Always remember and keep in mind that the old cow's tail hangs down behind. It may be ugly and full of cockle burrs, but the old cow loves it because it's hers. Since I wasn't written in the program, by George, I'll just take a little time because it isn't quite 7 o'clock. And I'll just throw that back there. Well, sir, one time, Ober Rabbit was invited out to a Halloween frolic. Maybe it was the 4th of July frolic, for all I know. And in order to get there, he had to get on the ferry boat and cross over to Swanee River, because you know good as me that Burr Rabbit don't like to get his foot sweat. So he went on off to the frolic, and he had such a good time playing them old-timey games and climbing that grease pole and bobbing for apples and playing kissing games with the gals that he forgot to watch the time. And pretty soon the clock struck 12, and he said, "Lord of mercy, let me get on down and get on that boat and get on home. My mammy wanted to skin me alive for being out so late." And so he went down to the river, and lo and behold, that ferry boat man got sleepy, put up that boat, and gone home. Well, Burr Rabbit was showing a bad fix. And so he said, "I gotta wake up that there boatman." So he commenced a yoo-hoo, and he said, "Yoo-hoo! And he kept on yoo-hooing till he wake up old Bull Alligator sleeping down there under the banks of that river. That old rusty fellow come up floating up to the top of the water, and he say, "Who that making all that noise up there?" And he say, "It's me, Bud Rabbit." He say, "What you doing out so late, boy?" He say, "I've been to a frolic." He say, "What's that?" He said, "Ain't you never been to no frolic?" He said, "No, I ain't studying frolics." He said, "Well, you sure has missed a lot of fun." But he said, "That ain't the point." He said, "I gotta get this across this river, and the boatman done put up the boat, and I can't get across." So, Boy Alligator, he kind of flowed back and forth there like he's studying things over. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what I do. You hop on my back, and I'll take you across the river." Well, now that surprised Burr Rabbit, because you know good as me that him and Burr Alligator ain't no bosom friends. No, no. They ain't never been to each other's birthday parties or swap Christmas presents or nothing. Still, he got to get across the river. So he kind of eyed that old back, and he said, "Well, excuse me for saying so, Burr Alligator, but there sure is lots of roughness on that back. There's so many humps and bumps on it, I scared I'll fall off." He said, "Oh, just get your foot in the humps and bumps. You won't fall off. I'll take you across the river." So old Burr Rabbit hop on. But soon as he hop on, he wish he could hop off, cause they was so many humps and the bumps, and he was just a-rocking and a-riding there. And he noticed that old alligator wasn't doing what he say he's going to do. He weren't going straight across the river like this. Now, so he's veering off down here into the darkness. And he say, "I'm on this here alligator up to something. I got to find out what he's up to." And he say, "Excuse me, Burr Alligator. Maybe use a little bit deep. I didn't say I wanted to go up the river or down the river. I say I wants to go across the river." And that old alligator, he turned that big old head of his around there, and he opened up that big mouth, and oh, it was more tooth in that mouth than there stars are twinkling up in the sky. And them little old eyes of his was gleaming like two little red lights. And he said, "Yeah, I heard you." He said, "I've been waiting a long time to get hold of you." He say, "I know who it was sucked the grass on by and burnt my back and made all them humps and bumps on it. It was you. And I'm going to take you off down here, and I'm going to goozle out your gizzard."
Well, sir.
his time had come. But being Rude Bull Rabbit, he put on his thinking cap. And instead of boo-hooing like a bull alligator specking to, he commenced to laugh. And he said, hee. The old bull alligator said, didn't you hear what I say? I say, I'm going to goozle out your gizzard. Yeah, I heard you. But if you think you're going to goozle out my gizzard, you got another thought coming. Because last week, I had such a terrible bellyache, my mammy took me to the doctor, and the doctor made a bodacious discovery. He discovered that instead of having one gizzard, I got two gizzards, and they was pressing on my liver and my lights and making my belly ache. And so he said the only way I could get relief was to find me a hollow tree right over there on the other side of the river and take out my gizzards and put them in that hollow log. And that's what I done. Well, that's all that old bumbly, fumbly boy alligator wanted to hear. He just whirled around and he shot for the shore. And as soon as he got near enough, old boy rabbit, he gave a bodacious leap and his foot hit that dry ground and lippity, 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 lippity. Away he went to get that licking for being out so late. And for all I know, old boy alligator is a floundering around there in the mushes and the slushes, looking for a hollow tree and two rabbit gizzards. What ain't there? Gary Lawrence Bullard of White Springs.
The first thing I'd like to do for you all tonight is me and Bobby McGee.
Busted flag to Baton Rouge, heading for the train. Been in nearly fading as my jeans. Bobby thumbed the diesel down just before it rang. Took his saw away to New Orleans. Well, I took my harpoon, my dirty red bandana, blowing sad while Bobby sang the blues. With them windshield whoppers slapping time and Bobby's body close to mine, we sang up all the songs that driver knew. Bringing just another word for nothing left to do. It ain't worth nothing, but it's free. Feeling good for city, Lord, when Bobby sang the blues. But if that was good enough for me, good enough for me and Bob McGee. From the coal mines of Kentucky to the California sun, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Guiding me and leading me through everything I'd done. Every night she kept me from the cold. But somewhere there's some lameness, Lord, I let her slip away. Hoping for that home I hope she'll find. I've trained all my tomorrows for a single yesterday, holding Bobby's body close to mine. Reading just another word for nothing left to do. Nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free. Feeling good, sitting, Lord, when Bobby sang the blues. But that was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee. Next thing I like to do for y'all is shout to the nieces. How do you think I began in this world? I got me a sow and several other things. Sow took the measles and she died in the spring. What do you think I made of her hide? The very best saddle that you ever did ride. Saddle or bridle.
battle or any such thing. The sow took the measles and she died in the spring. What do you think I made of her nose? The very best thimble that ever stood close. Thimble or thread or any such thing. The sow took the measles and she died in the spring. What do you think I made of her tail? The very best whoop that ever set sail. Whoop or whoop socket, any such thing. Sow took the measles and she died in the spring. What do you think I made of her feet? The very best pickles that she ever did eat. Pickles or glue or any such thing. Sow took the measles and she died in the spring. How do you think I began in this world? I got me a sow and several other things. The sow took the measles and she died in the spring.
Last night, I'll do for y'all tonight is Old Blue.
I had an old dog, and his name was Blue. And I bet you $5, he's a good dog too. Singing, come on, Blue, you can have some too. That possum up the cinnamon tree. Blue looked at the possum. The possum looked at me. Singing, come on, Blue, you can have some too. Make that possum good and brown. Sweet taters all round and round. Singing, come on, Blue, you can have some too. Now old Blue died, and he died so hard that he jarred the ground.
Aren't they good looking? Yeah, but before we talk about these good looking boys, let's talk about the good looking one that just went off the stage. Isn't he great? Let's give him another hand. And these two handsome gentlemen are David Beebe and Mark Tracy. Where do you all live? Oh, they live where I live now, Gainesville, Florida. Down the road, please. This is a very handsome hammered dulcimer. When we first started the folk festival 28 years ago, going on 28 years ago, there wasn't a hammer dulcimer or a little flat dulcimer around. And now we like to think that we've influenced lots of people to play these beautiful instruments. All right, now let's, when they get set up, let's listen.
This is hammered dulcimer, which is the ancestor of the piano, and I'm going to do an Irish harp piece for you from 17th century Ireland by a blind harpist named O'Carroll. It's called Planks Detour to Brabazon. Gnats out here this evening. This one. Closer? Closer?
A little close.
He's good.
He is a little close?
That one. A couple of American fiddle tunes we're going to do. Devil's Dream and Sailor's Hornpipe. You'll probably recognize the latter. All the kids can put on their sailor's hats and dance. Little Beggar Man. And it involves an Irish custom that we're going to ask you to indulge in, and it's banging your hands together. When we start, you kind of catch on. It goes kind of like this in the middle of some place. It's sometimes called clapping, but some people don't know how to do it, so I thought I'd teach you all. Settle with a Wooden Leg, Spider with the Baby, Tommy Makin's Fantasy, Little Red Haired Boy, and On Grid Yosh. And this is Little Beggar Man. Cosmic saying up three that the leggy stool's not rocking, but it's not true. No, I'll fool you. This is the Psalter. This is Swan. Swan Lands. And it's a Renaissance instrument, and I build all of these if anybody wants to contact me later. And wants one. So cheap. This next one is an Irish tune called Star of the County Down. Thank you. calls it a duet. Trying to give you a taste of everything. Traditionally, dulcimers aren't played the way I just did, at least not in this country. Their ancestors kind of are played that way. They're played generally with a droning that resembles bagpipes, and you play all the melody in the first string, and they're really one of the easiest instruments in the world to play, which we're about to prove. Sort of. And this is a medley of some tunes that you probably recognize. This next one is another Irish harp tune by the same blind harper of the 1700s. And this one's called Sibeg Shimor, which is a story about two fairy kingdoms that lived on two separate hills. The legend has it the hills were in love, but the kingdoms were at war. It's called Sibeg Shimor. Thank you.
gentlemen another hand. And I think someday, if they get hard up, they're going to auction off that pretty little antique chair. Don't you ever. It's a treasure. Isn't it beautiful? The little antique chair. And I think it's nice that they brought it to share with us. You know, part of Fokiana is an important part of it, is the gospel music that's made up and down the land. It's not just peculiar to the South. It's everywhere. When I go up to Evelyn Beers Bernstein's festival on the New York Vermont border, every Sunday morning, and gosh, we stay up till all hours, and but we have to get up on Sunday morning because there's gospel music and Sacred Harp singing in the gazebo on the lawn, and it's just so beautiful, it just restores your soul. Well, this group that's coming on now, two choirs, local choirs from White Springs, from New Bethel Church and Sweet Home Baptist Church. They're here to make beautiful gospel music for us. Let's welcome them now.
Methodist Church and Sweet Home Baptist Church.
We would like to bring to you this evening a message in song. We hope